Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you all here this morning. We're going to be continuing in our study of the end time prophecy, and this is going to be a study primarily focused on the book of Daniel, and in fact just a few verses in Daniel chapter 9, starting at verse 24 and going down through verse 27. And we'll branch off of that and fill in other passages as they're given, primarily in the New Testament, to help to clarify and fill in some of the details on what is spoken of by Gabriel to Daniel in the book of Daniel. So we're going to have you turn to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, and I'll pick up and read a few of these verses. We'll have a prayer and then we'll start the study. Daniel 9:24. The angel Gabriel is speaking here, and he speaks to Daniel and he says, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Then, after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war, desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and of the on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, those words can be sometimes a little confusing, so we'll try to unpack them as we go along. Father, it is with great joy and thanksgiving that we gather here this morning, just enjoying the fellowship of like precious faith. May you bless this time. May you hide me and make the words clear. And may the Spirit of God indeed do the teaching, because he is the only one who can teach these scriptures. I trust it to you. Thank you in advance for what you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to go back here to this is where we left off last week. Just a quick review here. We're talking about the 70 weeks, and the notes here are important that we understand. The word anointed one that is recorded in Daniel chapter 9 in the verses we just read, there are several, there are two different people, two different men that are identified in this passage. One is the anointed one, and anointed, another translation of anointed is the usual translation, and that is Messiah. Messiah, and you often see that in the New Testament, the word Messiah means anointed one. That's basically what it means. And that anointed one is an indication of the process that the Jews would use whenever a person was elevated and put into a high position, normally a king, like what we do on January to whatever it is, when we install a new president and the cabinet and all that. What the Jews did is they had a ceremony and they would anoint. They would actually take oil and pour on the head of the person and anoint them with oil, and that is why it is referred to as the Anointed One. The Messiah, the Christ, is the Anointed One. So, and he is also a ruler. But there is another one that is identified in this passage as the ruler. He is not the Anointed One. He is just a ruler. And we'll find out as we go along who that is. And that person is the Antichrist. Note number two, the triumphal entry is the official entry of the Messiah to the nation of Israel. And that's given in Zechariah 9:9, and that's I've recorded that on this note over here. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this is from in Matthew 21:4-8. And in verse 6 it says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. And a very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread on the road. We call that the triumphal entry. And that is a point where the Messiah of the nation of Israel, the Anointed One, the same one that is spoken of in Daniel chapter 9, the Anointed One is presented officially to the nation of Israel. Everybody understand that? This is sort of the coronation, if you will. Jesus is fulfilling what is written in the prophet Isaiah, Zechariah 9, verse 9. Behold, your king, your anointed one, comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. And that is the point where Jesus is officially presented to the nation of Israel. And what was the response there? The children were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of as the Son of David. And what was the official response of the officials of Israel, the leadership?
Make them stop.
Tell them to stop. And they didn't want them crying that, because they knew those were the words that were to introduce the Messiah, the King. And they had totally rejected Christ, so they couldn't tolerate having the crowd, the kids, and the whole crowd crying Hosanna, praises to him. Now that's the good news on the day of the triumphal entry. The next 62 sevens and 62 years are consecutive. 69 sevens equals 483 years, which is 173,880 days. Now, I have included in the presentation on the web, I'm going to just show this to you. I'm not going to take any time here. If you want to study this further, this is a good presentation, and it shows basically the two calendars, the Jewish calendar and the Gregorian calendar, and that's the calendar that we are under today. The Gregorian calendar and the Jewish calendar always has 360 days per year. And, of course, we have 365 days a year. So here's the calculation on how you come through this to come up with 173,880 days. And the reason why the calculation moves to days is simply because the Jewish calendar is driven by the lunar cycle. And the Gregorian calendar is driven by the solar calendar. Okay? So this is how, this calculation is how you reconcile those two and put them on the same base. And so if you take the Jewish calendar and figure out what 483 years is, it's 173,880 days, because there's always 360 days in a Jewish year. If you do the Gregorian calendar, it's for 76 years, 365 days per year. That's 165 plus 116 days in leap years, plus 24 days from March the 5th to March the 30th. March the 5th is when the decree is given, and March the 30th is when the triumphal entry occurs, which is 173,880 days. There's a lot of details, and we're not going to spend time to go through that, because most of you don't care. But it is true. It's 173,880 days. And the thing that's interesting to me, just fascinating to me, is that it is to the day. It's 173,880 days to the day. So, this is where we left off last week, and we're going to start out here with this sheet, and this should be what you have on your pages. Now, this presentation is basically, this first lesson has seven slides in it, and what I did is I printed them off because so much of it is in color. So without the color, it's a little more difficult to understand. So I hope you saved the one from last week. If you didn't and you need it, just let me know, or you can print it from the web. So this is where we're at. The decree is given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Then we go seven sevens and 62 sevens. And know and understand, this is from Daniel 9:25, from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, that's what this, until the anointed one, and who is that? That's Jesus, until Jesus, and when is that event? Triumphal entry. Until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, triumphal entry, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. So, we have 69 sevens, which is 483 years, 173,880 days. So, in the triumphal entry is when the anointed one comes. And we already looked at this verse in Matthew, which was the fulfillment of that. So that is kind of a summary of where we were last week. So, the anointed one, the triumphal entry, the first seven, 62 sevens, and so forth. And it's a fulfillment of these other scriptures as well. So now we're going to move on. It's because here's where we were. Until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens, and it will be rebuilt with streets and a trench. And that's talking about Jerusalem. It was fairly quick to build the wall, but then they had to completely rebuild the moat around Jerusalem, and they also had to rebuild all the streets, the houses. The temple was destroyed, and the balance of that took the balance of the 49 years. After the 62 sevens, in other words, the 69 sevens total, the anointed one cut off. Now, it says, after the 62 sevens, and here's the 62 sevens. So this, at the end of the total, which is 62 sevens plus six plus seven sevens is how many sevens? 69 sevens. Now, Dave asked the question last week, which is a pertinent question, and that is, what about the last seven, right? Because the scripture, the promise here from Gabriel is 77s are decreed upon the Jews and the Israelites, and so far we've only covered how many? 69. So there's a missing seven, and we're going to talk about that. And it's interesting to me that although the time span for the first 69 sevens is long, and the time span for that last seven is very short, it's only 7 years, there seems to be more written about the last seven than on the other 69 total. So the last seven, and if you're a prophecy student and you read any of the studies and books on prophecy, you will always hear the discussion about Daniel's 70th week. And the reason is because that's the week that is still in front of us. That week has not occurred yet. All of these 69 weeks have already what? They're already done. It happened. That's history to us. But that 70th week is just hanging out there. We haven't gotten there yet. So what we'll do is we'll try to understand what is the description about that last week, and what else do we know about it, because it's future to us. So that's kind of where we're headed here. But we need to understand this. Now Jerusalem is built, the 69 weeks are done, the triumphal entry has occurred, and it says, after the 62 sevens, the anointed one, who's that?
Christ,
the anointed one, will be cut off and will have nothing. Now, the word cut off there is a very interesting word in the Hebrew. The word cut off literally means executed. Executed. And it is a word that is unique to a criminal execution. Now, one of the things that the Jews have stumbled over since the beginning, when they talk about the anointed one, their Messiah, what are they expecting from the Messiah? He's going to come and he's going to rule everything. And by the way, that is true. But what they can never stomach is what? That he's going to die. And they're not listening to their own prophecy. They're not listening to what Daniel said. What Gabriel has recorded here is, know and understand from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, your Messiah, comes, will be 69 sevens. The city will be rebuilt with streets and a trench, but in times of trouble. After the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be what?
Executed.
Executed as a criminal. Did that happen?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, the execution as a criminal is, if you go back and study what was happening after the Anointed One came, and they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the Son of David. Within a week or so, what were they crying?
Crucify
him, crucify him. And so that crucify him. For the Romans, a crucifixion was absolutely, totally saved for criminals. It was a criminal prosecution. That's the way they made examples of them. And so it says the anointed one will be executed as a criminal. That's what that word means, all wrapped up and cut off. And he will have what?
Nothing.
Bill.
I guess I wasn't listening close enough, but after the first 62 years is when the crucifixion happened, right? After
69, after the 62 seventh, that's this.
Okay, but the first, it says, verse 26 there, it says, after 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off.
Yes, after 62 sevens. So there's seven sevens and then 62 sevens. The total is 69. So it's after the 62 sevens.
So this, the first seven is the rebuilding of Jerusalem.
Right, that's right, right, right. Okay. Everybody with that? So it's a little confusing in the way it's worded there in Daniel. It says after the 62 sevens. If I were writing it, I would have said after the 69 sevens. But it is after the 62 sevens, and it's exactly that point. It's a total of 69 sevens. And the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. And of course in John 1:11, he came unto his own, and his own what? Received him not. And so that is, they rejected their Messiah. So here's the way that looks. The triumphal entry is right here after the 69 sevens. After that, the Messiah, their Messiah, will be cut off. With one voice in Luke 23, with one voice they cried out, "Away with this man, release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. That's the criminal execution. And Jesus is basically replacing Barabbas, and so he is facing a criminal persecution. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." So this is the prophecy in Daniel, because it is given by the Lord himself, transmitted to Daniel through the angel Gabriel, is exactly the case. It is precise in every detail. Know and understand, the people of after the 62 sevens, the anointed one will be cut off and will have nothing. That's Daniel 9:26. Now, notice the next sentence here. This is interesting. The ruler, the people of the ruler who will come, will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The end will come like a flood. Now, this ruler is not the anointed one. Everybody got it? This is a different ruler. And remember I said there were two men that were identified as we go through this particular prophecy. The first one is the ruler is the anointed one, the Messiah. But this one is just described as the ruler. And in fact, when you look at the sentence, it's not talking about the ruler in this particular sentence. It is talking about what? The people of the ruler. Now, what does that mean, the people of the ruler? What's the nationality of the ruler? That's what it's saying. What is the nationality of the ruler? The people of the ruler who will come. Everybody with me? So, for instance, if this ruler came from Spain, the people of the ruler would be what?
Spanish.
Okay? If the ruler came from Italy, the people of the ruler would be Italians. Okay, everybody got it? This is the people of the ruler. So the people of the ruler, this ruler that's going to come, the people of the ruler who will come, will do what? They're going to destroy the city. They're going to destroy the sanctuary, that's the temple, and the end will come like a flood. Okay, so we need to pause here and make sure that we really digest what is being said here. First of all, there's another ruler who is going to come, right? It's not the anointed one. It's not the Messiah. It's another ruler who will come. So we just kind of tuck that away out here. We've got another ruler who's going to come. But the nationality of that ruler who will come is the people of the ruler, right? And what is the people of the ruler going to do? They're going to destroy the city. They're going to destroy the sanctuary. They're going to wipe it out. Amazingly enough, that was exactly fulfilled. Exactly fulfilled. Let's look at a few things here. Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Jesus is talking to his disciples. His disciples were with Jesus, and they were bragging to Jesus about their temple. And they said, Jesus, have you seen this wonderful temple that we've built? And Jesus says in Matthew 24, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to his building. Do you see all these things? He asked. I tell you the truth. Now look at this. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. You understand what he's saying there? This temple is going to be leveled. It is going to be disassembled. Every stone. There won't be one stone left on top of another. By the way, these are not your normal stones. These stones are tons, literally tons each. The construction of this temple was just phenomenal. So here are some notes about this that you can kind of tuck away for your study. The ruler who will come, this guy up here, the people of the ruler who will come, he is not the anointed one. You need to tuck that away and make sure you do not confuse the two rulers, because the anointed one is the ruler, but this is another ruler. The ruler is later known as the Antichrist. The Antichrist. He will come during the tribulation. We know that because of studies in the book of the Revelation, primarily. And we'll take a look at those so we can unpack that one. The people of him destroy the temple, the Jerusalem temple, and this happens at an exact date. This is a historical date. It's not recorded in Scripture other than what Gabriel records that is going to happen. But Jerusalem and the temple was literally destroyed in 70 AD. That is, you probably can find it in your history books. They haven't rewritten those yet. It happened in AD 70, and it was destroyed by Titus. And what nationality was Titus? He was a Roman. So put two and two together here now. This is the destruction of Jerusalem and temple will be destroyed by the coming ruler's people. So the coming ruler, the one that is the Antichrist, is going to be of what nationality? He's going to be of the Roman nationality. Bill.
Now I'm getting confused between the destruction of the temple in 70 versus the ruler who is the Antichrist, which is during the tribulation.
They're separate events. The destruction of the temple occurred in 70 AD. It's history. It's done. The ruler has not come yet.
It's just the people destroyed the temple in 70, but the ruler comes later.
Right. Okay. So we know the people of the ruler who will come, will destroy the city. That happened in AD 70. And they not only destroyed the city, they destroyed the temple. And by the way, the stones of the temple were laid with a gold leaf between the stones. It was kind of the mortar. And when the soldiers came through and they figured out that there was gold between the stones, and so what would they do?
Take it apart.
Take it apart and take the gold out. That's why, from a human standpoint, that's why the temple was disassembled and destroyed totally. The stones were leveled to the ground, and that happened the soldiers came in and they just came through that city and it was just like a flood. Bill?
Now, is this leading us to the conclusion that the Antichrist will be a Roman?
Yes. That is exactly the case. And Bill brings up a very good point, and I want you to all make sure that you understand what this is saying. The people of the ruler who will come. Okay? The people of the ruler who will come. And the people are going to do what? Destroy the city. That happened in AD 70. And who were the people? Romans. So the ruler that is going to come is going to be what? He's going to be a Roman. Now, unfortunately, that's a pretty broad thing because the Romans totally dominated Europe and almost all the countries that we understand there. So he could be coming out of the Roman Empire, which would have been non-definitive in terms of a country. That's the unfortunate part for us.
He's not from Brooklyn.
He's not from Brooklyn. He's not from the United States. But understand that. He's from the nations that comprise the Roman Empire.
Broadly speaking, then, he's European.
Broadly speaking, he's European. Yep.
The Roman Empire was really the entire world.
It was. Of course, it was the entire world that was known and trafficked at that time.
Actually, it could be from Brooklyn, because Gino's pizza.
Okay, don't confuse it. Don't confuse us anymore here. Okay. So here's the next part of the description. The people of the ruler who will come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. And by the way, for us, that destruction is still history. It's past. It happens in AD 70. So it happened to 2,000 years ago, more or less. It says then the end will come like a flood and war will continue until the end and desolations have been decreed. So for the Jews, and unfortunately for the rest of us also, what does Gabriel say is going to happen from here to the end?
Wars.
And Jesus said, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. The end is not yet. It's going to happen up until the end. It just is fascinating to me that this prophecy given to Daniel thousands of years before this happened is fulfilled exactly in history right up to this day. For Israel, war will continue until the end. And has Israel had war?
Yes.
Until the end? Yes. Desolations means to lay waste and to make desolate. History records to this day, it's true. And Jesus foretold this all in Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 through 8. So, we have wars all the way out to the end. In 24, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen. But the end is still to come.
Didn't they believe that the end would come maybe in their lifetime?
They did. Yeah. And we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in diverse places, various places. All these are just the beginning of birth pangs. It's just nothing but the start. So, what's next? This ruler who is going to come in 926 after those wars. And by the way, I want to point out one particular thing here that is very important that we understand. And this is going to we're all going to have to just eat a lot of humble pie here. You got to understand, these prophecies are about Israel and to Israel. They're not to the United States. They're not to the Gentiles. Remember what he says back clear up here in verse 24. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. 70 weeks have been decreed for the United States. Is that what that says? 70 weeks have been decreed for the Gentiles. Is that what it says? 70 weeks have been decreed for who? Your people. And who was he talking to?
Jews.
He was talking to Daniel, and his people were the Jews. 70 weeks have been decreed for the Jews and your holy city. Now, what's that? Not Washington, D.C., not London. Your holy city is Jerusalem. When you see a reference to the holy city in Scripture, it is always Jerusalem. Always Jerusalem. 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression. And we didn't go through all the detail there about to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity. Every one of those things that is enumerated in verse 24, every one of those things will be fulfilled to the letter when the Messiah sets up his kingdom. Every one. We will have an end to sin. We will have an atonement for iniquity. We will bring in everlasting righteousness. We will seal up vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy place. And the most holy place is the temple of God. And in the kingdom that Christ is going to set up, there will be a new temple, a new rebuilt temple. And by the way, one of the things that students of prophecy will always bring to the forefront is the rebuilding of that temple. And one of the reasons is because as we get into it, we find out that during the tribulation period, which is that last 7 weeks, the sacrificial system is reinstated and it's in the temple. Is the temple there today?
No.
No. But it is going to be at the middle of the tribulation period. So people are always continually looking for the Jews to begin the process of rebuilding the temple. And the reason is they're putting together these prophetic verses and pushing this all together, and they're saying, I don't know how it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And by the way, one of the big roadblocks to putting the temple there is what's there right now.
The dome
of the rock. The dome of the rock. The Arab sacred the spot to worship is sitting right there, and you know what would happen if the Jews tore that down to build the temple. There would be World War III instantaneously. So how is that going to happen? And the answer is, I don't know. We don't know how it's going to happen, but putting all the pieces together, you can bet it is going to happen. Somehow, it is going to happen.
Bill, I just had a question about the time period when it says to seal up vision and prophecy. Was that right after the cross? Like there's no more vision or prophecy?
No, I think that's all related to the kingdom of Christ. It'll be the millennial, probably the millennial time, perhaps rolling into the end kingdom, the ultimate millennium kingdom. Yeah, they're kind of, the millennial kingdom is described in some verses, and in other verses it's just talking about the end, the kingdom of Christ when he sets up his kingdom forever. The eternal kingdom. And we'll talk about that. We'll show the two different events, and truthfully, I'm not sure I have enough wisdom to be able to separate those. I don't know which ones belong where. So this is where we're at. We're here with the wars, the rumors of wars. And what's next? What's the next thing that's on the calendar prophetically? And this is basically from the prophecy, the prophetic details that Gabriel gave to Daniel in 9:24. We're going to use that to follow this to the next step. And then we're going to start unpacking those and looking at the book of the Revelation. One of the things that you should do for yourself is maybe have two scriptures. On one have the book of Daniel, and on the other side have the book of the Revelation, because the two are like a hand and a glove. One of them prophesies, the other one interprets. This one prophesies, and the interpretation is back here in Daniel. They just intertwine, and sometimes there is no possible way to understand what is written except to compare the two. And then this will begin to be clearer. So for the Jews, from the destruction of the temple in AD 70 forward in time to the end, wars are determined. So what's next? This is from our study, the prophetic study here. Who's this ruler that's going to come? That's another question we have, right? The first ruler that was going to come was the anointed one, which is Christ, and that's been described. He came, triumphal entry. He was rejected. He was executed. And then we have this ruler that will come, is introduced there in verse 26. Who is that? Who is that? We're going to find out. What about Daniel's 70th week? So far in this scripture, we've gone all the way through the rebuilding of Jerusalem back here in the Old Testament days, the triumphal entry of Christ, the crucifixion of Christ, the destruction of Jerusalem again. 70 years, there's some things that have happened between here and here, between the crucifixion and AD 70. We're going to unpack that also. But from the prophecy that is given here, from this point on, there's just wars determined. But then we still don't know what happens to the 70th week, right? We've covered 69, but Gabriel is very specific. 70 weeks are determined, so we need to know. Inquiring minds want to know. What about Daniel's 70th week? And there's a bigger question for us. What about the church? The church isn't in here, right? Now let me give you a clue. We'll get into this deeper as we go through the next couple of lessons here. But I want to give you a clue. The church is a mystery. The church is a mystery. Paul talks about mysteries in the book of Ephesians. If you want to go back and kind of refresh your mind about that, read Paul's letters to the church at Ephesus, and he talks about mysteries, and he talks specifically about the mystery of the church. And a mystery, Paul says, he actually gives you a Webster Dictionary definition of the word mystery. The word mystery is a truth that was previously withheld but is now revealed. Everybody got that? People look at that word mystery and say, well, it's a mystery, we can't understand it. No, you don't understand what the word mystery means in the scripture. What it means in the scripture is that Daniel never was told about it. None of the Old Testament prophets were told about it. It was a mystery. God held it secret and did not reveal it until the day of Pentecost and the church was born. And until that point in time, it was a mystery. It was not revealed. We're not going to find anything about the church back here. There's nothing in Daniel's prophecy about the church. It's going to just jump right over it. And we'll even talk about why. Why did God do that? Now, I'm not sure I can totally understand it and explain it, but I think there's some pretty good reasons for it. So, who's the ruler that's going to come? What about the next 70th week? And what about the church? And all God's people said, I want to know that. Let's get to it. So, Lord willing, we'll take up the next study and we'll pick up some of these items next week. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. We just rejoice in what you have done for us. It is such a privilege to have the New Testament, the completion of the Word of God, the complete revelation of the Word of God for us this day. There's nothing more that we need to know than what's in the New Testament. You've given us everything for life and godliness. And I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to feed on it, to fuel our lives with it, and to trust in you more and more. Prophecy is not given as a toy for us just to play with and say, well, I know what's going to happen. It's not that at all. It's to tell us what's going to happen so that we would live a godly life. Because what he has told us has come true to the exact minute detail about the past, and we can absolutely trust him with what he is going to do in the future. Jesus is the subject of everything in this book, and we are going to see him in total detail as it is revolved around these prophecies. Thank you for everything you do, and should you tarry, bring us back together again next week to study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.